All right. Oh. Keelan. That's 2 weeks in a row. But it's not your fault. We keep swapping mics, and Keelan has no idea what we're doing up here. Hey, good morning, everybody. That was pretty weak. Good morning, everybody. All right, much better. Hey, so we're wrapping up our series this week called Time. And so kind of before we jump into that, I just want to say happy Memorial Day. And if we have any veterans or anybody that served, man, we just really just know that we appreciate all that you've done and all that you do. And, man, you won't find a place where there's more appreciation for sacrifice and service than here. Shelly's brother, I was in a, man, I just, military people get me messed up, man. I don't know what it is. And so anyway, if you have served, we just want to take this time this morning just to say how much we appreciate you. We know what a sacrifice that is. So we want to give you a round of applause. You don't have to stand up, but you know who you are. All right. That's that. So this morning, we're wrapping up a series called Time, and we've talked about several different aspects or components of time thus far, and last week, I think, was probably my favorite so far, because you know how we do that. It's like every time is the next best time, and every time you do something, it's better than the last time, so that's your new favorite. Nobody else does that. All right, so last week was probably one of my favorite. We talked about how in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says that there is a time to mourn and a time to weep, and it talks about kind of the balance. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to weep, and a time to be joyful. And so we talked about the fact that it's okay sometimes in Christianity to not be okay, right? Because I think sometimes we're bought into this lie that we just have to be perfect all of the time, and that's just not reality. And I don't live there, and I don't expect you to live there, and biblically it's not true. And so anyway, that's what we talked about last week, and John Crumpton did a phenomenal job just kind of sharing some of the struggles that he's had and experiences that he had. He lost his mom back in December of last year, and we talked about how it's okay to mourn and weep sometimes and what that looks like and how ultimately God uses those circumstances in our life to help other people, right? And so it's so cool when you get to the other side of it and you get to see how God uses your struggle. There's value in your struggle, and it helps other people. So anyway, that's one of the things that we talked about. The whole series is on iTunes, so check it out, right? This morning, we're finishing it up, and I have asked, we've enlisted the services of one of the coolest people I have ever met. He's one of the busiest people that I've ever met, which is kind of ironic that we're talking about time, right? And we talked about time wasters and stuff during the series. But this is one of the busiest people that I've ever seen and does so much and gives and serves so much. And in spite of his busy schedule, always finds time for people. And I thought, I could not think of a better person to help us wrap up this series and talk about time and specifically using our time to serve other people than my good friend, Dr. Mayor Mack. He's got so many monikers. And so this morning, Dr. Mack is going to come and talk for just a little bit about time, specifically time to serve, and then I'm going to come back up at the end and grill him a little bit.
Thanks, Chris. You know, it's always fun to be in different churches, and I have the privilege of getting to speak at many churches in town, and it's always kind of nice to know what you're getting into before you go. And so sometimes when I speak at the Southside churches, I have to put on the absolute nicest suit that I have, and I'm still underdressed. And so I asked Chris, you know, give me the background. He said, hey, come casual, jeans, shirt. I said, that's cool for me. I can really enjoy that. And I said, well, tell me how the service goes. How long do I have to speak? What do you want me to do? And he goes, oh, listen, we usually try to go until after the lunch crowd has ended at Posado's. So he said, you've got to at least 1 o'clock. And I said, then great, we'll start in Genesis. So open your Bibles to Genesis and we're going to take off. So, that's not good? Okay, then we'll start in Ecclesiastes, okay? Because this is the consummate Bible verse on time. And I just want to read it to you real quick, then we're going to get away from that. Everything has its time. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear, to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war. That pretty much covers everything, right? And so when you think of time, God pretty much has it already taken care of, doesn't he? There's a few quotes that I always refer to when I think about time. One of them is, my favorite things in life don't cost any money. It's really clear that the most precious resource we all have is time. That's from Steve Jobs. If you don't have time to do it right, when will you ever have time to do it over? That was John Wooden. Most of you are too young to know who John Wooden was. Ask your parents or your grandparents. Y'all are so young. You may delay, but time will not. Benjamin Franklin said that. The future is something which everyone reaches at the same rate of 60 minutes an hour. Whatever he does, whoever he is. One of my favorites, C.S. Lewis. And a woman's mind is clearer than a man's because she changes it more often. Oh, sorry, that's a different sermon. I'm sorry. That was not this one. I apologize for that. How did I get in there? Okay, today we're going to spend time talking about time. So let me first define time. According to Webster, time is the measured or the measurable period during which an action, process, or condition exists or continues. A non-spatial continuum that is measured in terms of events which succeed one another from past through present to future. Everyone rich or poor, famous or unknown, has exactly 1,440 minutes a day, 160 hours a week, 8,760 hours in a year, and 657,000 hours in a 75-year lifetime. Those are finite numbers that we can't control. There's only one controller of those numbers. Time is too slow for those who wait, too fast for those who fear, too long for those who grieve, too short for those who rejoice. But for those who love, time is eternity. Time puts a lot of pressure on us. When we talk about time, we're really talking about creating intentional time, built into the rhythm of the family's life for purposes of thinking about, talking about, and living out the gospel. We're talking about intentionality around the rhythms that we already have present in our lives. Have you ever read from the Sharma? The Sharma is how the Jews, or God's people, in the Old Testament understood how God educated them. And if you read from the Sharma, here's what it says. If you have your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words I have commanded you today shall be on your heart. We should be cultivating a heart that loves Jesus. That's what we're here to do, to give ourselves over, to cultivate a heart that loves Jesus Christ. As imperfect as we are, there isn't a person in this room that hasn't blown it this week. Not one of us. We are imperfect. That's why God's grace is such a beautiful thing for all of us. This is our primary place of operating. The next sentence, listen, doesn't matter if we can't get there. So as imperfect as we are, wherever we are cultivating a heart that loves Jesus. Look at verse 7. I love when the Word of God meets us in the world in which we live. That's what I love about God. He's not ethereal. He meets us where we are actually each and every day. So, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your door, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What the Bible has just done is not ask you to add anything to your life or your routine. What it's asked you to do is incorporate that into what you're already doing. It's not piling things on. It's just prioritizing for us. when we're talking about time, I like to categorize it into four things. And I go deep into my roots and I make them all start with the letter C, because that's easier for me to remember. If I can do things that have acronyms or homonyms or whatever you want to call those things, I remember them better. So, four C's. It's talking about intentional time, where we divide the spaces and we do things spiritually. First, consistency. Now, don't get deflated. No human being ever, regardless of age, can be told something one time and never need to be told to them again. No one. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way for me. It doesn't work that way for you. It certainly doesn't work that way for your children or for you husbands out there. If you just take this out of the spiritual world and put it into the world you're living in, no kid ever needed to be told just once, don't do that. Right? That's how the world is. Hey, pick up your shoes. Hey, will you come pick up your shoes? Hey, that's not where your shoes go. Hey, let me show you where your shoes go. Okay, here's where your shoes go. Hey, what are these? You get to where you're talking like a crazy person. But you know what you're doing? You're being consistent. Your shoes. Okay, those are your shoes. This is how it works. We teach it over and over and over again, and that's how you become consistent. It's the same with God's word. It's the same with our time. Consistency. So spiritual conversations are not one-offs. They're consistent. We consistently are having these conversations. Let's talk about parents. A lot of y'all are young in here, don't have children yet, but you will. You're already good at this. You're already talking to your kids consistently about things. But what are the things that you're talking to them about? Okay, let me just guess a couple. I'm guessing you're talking about grades or sports or how messy their room is. But they're consistent conversations. They're not bad conversations. They're consistent. It's not a bad thing for you to talk about how the best way to tackle someone or to keep your eye on the baseball or to perform your dance routine or throw the baton in the air. Those are not bad conversations. Consistency. I challenge you to be really consistent. But here's what won't work. You can't go, okay, every Monday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to take 10 or 15 minutes, and we're going to worship the Lord. Every Monday night, 7 o'clock. You can't do that. You know why? The world works against you. If you do that, the world is going to say, okay, all your kids' practices are now on Monday night. All your travel time is always on Monday night. Everything you need to do is going to be on Monday night. So that's not going to work. It's a good practice, but it doesn't work. Doesn't mean you shouldn't take some time during the week to find that time and be consistent about it, but you can't be dogmatic. Here's what I think. If you're able to praise God, you're at a whole other level than most human beings. And if you can do it consistently, you're really there. At some point every week, you should find that time. You should work with your family. You should read the Bible. You should have conversations that are meaningful, conversations that have purpose with your family, with your friends, with your children. Consistency is hard, but don't be too hard on yourselves. Second C is clarity. What I've learned with adults, even more so with our children, is that what's being said isn't necessarily what's being heard. Have any of y'all ever had that problem? I have it all the time. I have it with adults. I have it with children. I have it with newspaper. Sorry. It's true. But I get emails all the time that say, I can't believe you said that in your speech. And I send back and say, I didn't say that. They go, yes, you did. I go, no, it was a different speech. I didn't say that then. I oftentimes think I have a twin brother speaking for me sometimes. Because I read things and I go, where did that come from? I don't remember saying that in my waking hours. But here's some best practices I found. When you get into a spiritual conversation with your kids, and you're doing it consistently, when that conversation is kind of tapering off, say, hey, what did I just say to you? Say it back to me. See if they were really listening. This is great, parents, because it starts to give you a little bit of insight into the soul of your child. And each soul is unique. I have three individual souls in my family. I have to come at each one of them in a different way. I have to deal with each one of them differently. There is no one size fits all when raising children or being with people. There is no mold that everyone fits into. All three of my kids are individuals and they require different approaches, but they all have genuine hearts, and I have to find that heart in order to be with them in their place. Because to think that they're always going to be in my place, as much as I wish that were the case, it is not. Ask open-ended questions. If you ask yes or no, you're just going to get yes or no. Or maybe just a grunt sometimes with my son. So ask open-ended questions. How did that make you feel? That's awesome to ask from a mom or a dad, isn't it? How did that make you feel to your child? Hey, ladies, look over to your husband. Ask him, how did that make you feel? Kelly, don't do that. Okay, it's panic. Your eyes go up like this. Huh? Make me feel? About what? Did you say something? Did that make you angry? Did it make you sad? Did it make you angry sad? How'd you feel about that one? Clarity is very important. Tell me more about that. That's a good one. Ask your kids that one. Tell me more about that. That'll last about 3 seconds. Yeah, right. But these are great ways to have conversations with people. Get to their hearts, not just their behavior. Because behavior is a good thing that needs to be addressed, but what we want is their hearts. We learn from our Heavenly Father. We want the heart, not just behavioral modification. I want some behavioral modification, but what I ultimately want is their hearts, especially the hearts of my children. The third C is creativity. Make or take time to be creative with those around you. Okay, this is going to come as a surprise to some of y'all, but I'm half Lebanese, okay? My father was full-blood Lebanese. And I learned Arabic as a child, or at least I learned every cuss word in Arabic as a child. I can say anyone you want to know. But I took the time with my children creatively to teach them some Arabic. And I taught them how to say the Lord's Prayer in Arabic. It was a creative approach to God's word for us. We spent time together listening, learning, listening to them try to pronounce those funny words. You have your own stories of creativity. Don't be afraid to step out. Creativity is the imagination is endless. Find ways to connect with those around you, spending time in God's word. The fourth C is counsel. Now I want y'all to be the Michael Jordan of counsel. Now for most of y'all in here, that just went right over your head. If I said LeBron James, you'd be much better off. You'd know who that is. Ask your grandparents about Michael Jordan as well. Talk to your kids, your wife, your friends, your coworkers, people you see in the gym. It leads to lasting friendships. It even might even allow you to come up here and speak to a church one day. I met Chris in the gym. And his counsel to me has made a permanent impression. He takes the time every single day that I see him to stop and come up and speak to me. For an old guy like me to have a young guy like that, well, you get it. You get it. So what time is it? Look in Romans 13, 11 through 14. Time is running out. If you read the Bible, time is running out. If you believe the Bible, time is running out. We are slaves to time. We wear wristwatches with quarter-hour beepers to keep us on schedule. We have digital clocks in our car. We have alarm clocks on our nightstands. Many of us have Blackberries, Palm Pilots, or some other high-tech computerized personal assistants. Lots of us keep a day timer nearby so they can keep their track of their appointments and responsibilities. I ate lunch with a man one time who put his cell phone on the table beside me. We sat down at the restaurant, and just in case his phone didn't ring, he had a beeper and a pager all attached to his belt to ensure that he didn't miss anything or he stayed on schedule. I'm sorry, that was me. Y'all stop it over there. Yeah, that was me. We are slaves to time. Not long ago, I was in an airport, and I was watching people walk by, the faces of people walk by in an airport. And I was astounded at how many of them are glued to their cell phone while they're walking through the airport or anything that they're doing. And what's even more freaky is those ones that are walking like this and talking like someone's talking to them, where they got a thing in their ear and that's a Bluetooth and they're actually having a conversation. They look like a crazy person. They're just walking and talking and no one's around them. And I'm like, what? That is just not right. But it's life. It's where we are. You know, time is money. You've heard that, right? Researchers tell us that time is the new currency. Today, time is more important than money. People will spend money to save time. Whereas in an earlier generation, raised in the Depression, people would spend time to save money. In a world where most of us feel stressed out, we value the free time more than a few extra dollars in our pocket. How much time do you have left? No one knows for sure. I spoke with a friend who had cancer in remission, but the doctors told him that they were going to have to do a bone marrow transplant if the cancer returned. But they won't do it unless the cancer returns, which it probably will, but they can't be sure. So my friend doesn't know whether he's living, he's dying, or both. He doesn't know. How much time do we have left? Life is so uncertain. No one knows how long they have to live. However, statisticians have figured out an average life expectancy for people of every age. There's a website called the Death Clock. Anybody ever looked at that? Don't. I'm just telling you, don't. But it tells you how long you're going to live according to this chart. You answer questions, you put in a formula, and it spits out what your death date is. And I don't mean like the year. I'm talking about the month and the day. They're specific. So I put in a few well-known people. It's interesting. Tiger Woods, October 11th, 2049. Tom Hanks, April 20th, 2030. Arnold Schwarzenegger, May the 11th, 2021. Donald Trump, March 25th, 2020. If he wins, he better work quick. Because he don't have much time. Paris Hilton, April 30th, 2060. Here's my favorite. Billy Graham, August 18th, 1992. So what does that tell you? He's outlived them by 24 years already. And thank goodness he has. So what it really tells you is nobody knows the exact time or day. Only God does. So use that time accordingly. I didn't put my name in there. I don't want to know. Not a way in the world I want to know that. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Psalms 90, chapter 12. Martin Luther said we should live with the day of our death constantly before our eyes. It keeps us from the ultimate folly, thinking that we will live forever, and therefore giving us excuses to put off doing what we ought to do that we know is right. At least once a week, I receive an email with a statement at the bottom, life is short, eternity is significant. How true is that? Okay, so coming soon. Pages stick together. Understand the present time. Romans 13, chapter 11. Do you know what time it is? It's time to wake up. Why? Because salvation is nearer to us than when we first believe. Verse 11. That's reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming, and each day brings us closer to the great world-shattering event. In light of that, Paul tells us to wake up. Put off the darkness, the deeds of darkness, and put on the armor of light. The long night is fading away. The sun is peeking over the eastern horizon. Jesus is coming soon. Something we must put on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Verse 14. What do well-dressed Christians wear? They wear the Lord Jesus Christ. We should wear, what should you wear to work tomorrow? After you put on your outward clothes, make sure you put on Jesus. What should you wear to class this week? The answer is Jesus. How about what you wear to the store or to the prom or on vacation or while you're just hanging around the house? Put on Jesus. He's always appropriate for every occasion. Put on his holiness. Put on his beauty, his humility. Put on his purity. Put on his compassion. Put on his wisdom. Put on his forgiveness. Put on his righteousness, his zeal. Put on his patience. Put on his love. Clothe yourself with Jesus early in the morning. You'll be well-dressed all day long. There's only one thing you need to know. Christ must be in you before he can be on you. He must live in your heart as a Lord and Savior before you can take him with you to work. It's not enough to know your Jesus. You must know him in your heart and trust him as your Savior and Lord. Christians, do you know what time it is? It's later than it's ever been. The death clock is ticking for all of us. Don't go to that website. It's freaky, I'm just telling you. It's time to put on the deeds of darkness. Put off the deeds of darkness. It's time to put on the armor of light. It's time to take Jesus with you everywhere you go. It's time to get serious about your faith. It's time to stop sleepwalking through life. It's time. Some interesting statistics that you all will really appreciate because this is your wheelhouse. Time spent on Facebook every year. 180 million hours. 80 million hours are spent on YouTube. 8 to 18-year-olds spend 7 hours and 38 minutes a day using entertainment media. That's cell phones, iPods, iPads, laptops, computers, 53 hours per week. Multimedia multitaskers who can use more than one media device at a time, I know there's some sitting in this room, how about 10 hours and 45 minutes per day? Multitasking in media. Now let's compare. How much time do we spend in prayer? All people, all religions, average 4 minutes per day. All people, all religions. Now, pastors actually bump it up, average 30 minutes a day in prayer. No offense. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. Is that appropriate? It's more like pathetic. Okay, 4 minutes a day. Let's break that down. That's either 1 minute at each meal, or 2 minutes when you wake up in the morning, and 2 minutes before you go to bed at night. In prayer, less than 30 minutes a week. The average household, 2.8 hours a day, or 20 hours a week watching TV, 4.4 hours a day on Facebook, 2.5 hours talking on the phone, 2 hours texting on the phone. Add those hours up. All you're doing is talking, texting, and sleeping. Oh, that's right. 4 minutes a day for God. 4 minutes. Martin Luther said, if I fail to spend 2 hours in the morning praying each day, the devil gets the victory that day. We have all this time for other things, for keeping up with our friends, our favorite TV shows, looking up random things online, 4 hours a day, keeping up with family and friends. Out of the whole day, the highest average we give God is 15 minutes a day. The highest average I can find, 15 minutes a day. We spend 15 minutes maximum to tell God about our fears, our needs, our pain, our sadness, to pray for friends and family, to pray for missions, the sick, the homeless, the soldiers protecting our country, to pray for our government, our leaders, to ask for his guidance in our lives, to tell him we love him, to pray for those lost souls, to pray for the people we love who do know Christ. We accomplish all of this in less than 15 minutes per day. Really, only 4 per day, 4 minutes. How much are we missing out on? How many people do you give more than 15 minutes a day to? And to the one who knows everything there is to know about you, who has planned the steps of your life, who created you, who knit you together in your mother's womb, who cared enough to sacrifice his son for us, who loves us more than we can ever know, we give him 15 minutes of time a day maximum. Time is our most precious resource. It's perishable and irreplaceable. God in his grace has given us all the same amount of time, 24 hours per day. The quality, joy, and impact of our lives are directly related to how wisely we use the time that we have. This does not mean that we have to hurry or hustle through life. At this point, I'm really preaching to the preacher, because I'm a card-carrying member of the TOCA. It's an acronym. That's like those acronym things. Type A Obsessive Compulsive Association. I'm a member. I'm a charter member of that association. And there are many of you in here that are too. Many are stressed out, overcommitted, and spread way too thinly. Do you want to know if you're a member of the TOCA? If you're at a traffic light and it turns green, the driver in front of you waits as long as 3 seconds to move out, a TOC member will honk his horn. TOCA members like to do 2 things at once, and doing 3 things simultaneously is heaven. A TOCA member's worst nightmares are a terrorist attack and getting caught in a 3-mile-long backup on I-40. A TOCA member's favorite inventions are email and voicemail, so he can send messages to people 24 hours a day. A TOCA member cannot watch an athletic event on TV unless he has a book, magazine, or computer in hand, because the timeouts are very vexing. A TOCA member always drives 8 miles per hour over the speed limit. And when he passes another person driving right at the speed limit, he mumbles, "Come on, granny, drive it or park it." TOCA members never really officially organized. They're way too busy. In contrast, the Bible never says Jesus rushed anywhere. He was usually busy, but he found time to pray a lot. His total ministry was accomplished in just less than 3 years, but he found time to play with children, to investigate a fig tree, to take a nap during a boat ride, to rest at noontime beside a well, to attend a wedding reception. He even found time to die on the cross for me. If I could only be so selfless with my time. Let us pray. And because you didn't think I knew it, Abina Lasi Fi Samoet, Gara Sismak, Ithamalakuthak, Githakamashithak, Kama Fasama, Kazelika Alab, Abzenika Fetna, Athena Yon. God, we thank you for this time that you give us. The time that you allow us to be here, to worship you. You're worth so much more than 4 minutes a day, 4 hours a day, 24 hours a day. You are limitless, God, and we are limited. Your wisdom is infinite, and we are finite. Convict us. Let us see the joy in you, the glory in the Lord. Let us spend our time doing your work and your will. Forgive us when we fall short. Thank you for this congregation, God, and these young people, these hearts that are here. Fill them up with your word, your message. You are everlasting. We praise and love you in your son's holy name. Amen.
Amen. Wasn't that good? Thank you. All right. I'm just going to hit you with two questions real quick. And since you came at me trying to hit me in the feels a second ago. So I'm an observer. How many of you guys watch people? I'm a people watcher, right? Not creepy, not stalking, nothing like that, right? But just I like to watch people, observe people, and kind of see what they do. And so I was watching at the gym the other day, Dr. Max on a treadmill, right? That's laborious enough in and of itself. He's got his headphones in. It's on an incline. He's pouring sweat. And this older gentleman comes up to him and starts trying to have a conversation with him while he's on the treadmill with his headphones in. Right? It's off limits, right? And so rather than getting frustrated, rather than being like, hey, I don't have time for all of that, it was a solid 7-8 minutes, talked to this guy, heard him out, asked him what his name was. At the end of the conversation, followed it up with, hey, what was your name one more time? Repeated it back to him. And so taking the time to care for people like you do, like, why do you place value on people as you do?
You know, Chris, I talked yesterday, as you get older, you become more patient, obviously, but you get closer to that death clock too, you know, that death clock's ticking. But you realize that the things that you think are such important aren't really important. And what's important is people and relationships. And, you know, I've been given an opportunity to be able to talk to people and give that opportunity. It's what I've said this a million times. You know, when I decided to run for mayor, I prayed about it. I asked my family to pray about it. We talked about it. And I think God put me where he wants me to be. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think I'm doing what he wants me to do. Whether I'm doing it right or wrong, I don't know yet. Hopefully he'll tell me and lead me there. But I think he placed me where he wants me to be. And I think part of that is ministering to people. And I want to have as much influence in a positive way as I can on anyone that wants to take the time to talk to me. So if I can, I love to visit with people. And that treadmill is going to be there. Yeah. This gentleman may not. So you take that time, you...
Hey, say that one more time. That was good. Say that one more time.
The treadmill will be there. The gentleman may not. So, you know, you have to take advantage of each situation because you don't know what's going to happen when you walk out that door. So...
That's so good. You said something, and I think you exemplify this. You said Jesus was always busy, but he was never in a hurry. And I can't think of somebody that's more busy than you are with the obligations that you have. But again, you always take time for people. Is that something that you've learned, or is it something that has just come natural? How does that work out for you?
Well, I've learned that over time as well. With my kids, I have three children, and they're all grown now. But even when they were kids, they're all 2 years apart. So they're all athletic, two girls and a boy. My wife and I, Kelly, we would coach their baseball and softball teams. And every 2 years, two of the girls would be on the same team, but the other 2 years, they're not on the same team. So we'd have three teams. We were coaching two softball and a baseball team every summer, which means we started practice at 5 o'clock for the first one, 6 o'clock, the second one, 7 o'clock, the third one. We'd have three games a night. Time is like space. However much it is, you're going to fill it up. Just what you fill it up with. And I choose to fill it up with people, with my family, with friends, with relationships. Because if it's all about yourself, it's a lonely existence. It's not about yourself.
That's so good. All right, last question. You said that people look like they're crazy people when they're walking around talking on the Bluetooth. Have you ever started a conversation with somebody on the Bluetooth?
I have, and I felt so silly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? So I just act like I was on a Bluetooth too.
I thought somebody asked me a question. I'm like, yeah, man. And I start talking to him, and then you look like a complete idiot.
I mean, I go, no, I wasn't talking to you. No, yeah, you got to cover your ear because you don't have one in your ear, you know. So you're covering your ear like this.
You play it off back to like you've got a Bluetooth. That's fair
My
enough.
My Bluetooth's invisible. Yeah.
Again, y'all give it up for Dr. Mac. Yeah. That was incredible. What a great way to finish up the time series. We've got Kristen is going to come give us some announcements, some things that you need to know that are going on here at Motion Church. We love you guys. After the announcements, you are free to go and buy somebody lunch after this, okay?